Just a wee bit of background to this psalm. David was forced to flee from King Saul, all because of Saul's jealousy. He was jealous because David had received more praise than him, for whenever they returned from the victory in the battles they'd fought together. The women of the town of the cities sang as they returned, "Saul has struck down his thousands, and David has tens of thousands." Saul was out to try and kill him. He'd wanted him dead. He was so jealous. We can read all about these events if we look at from 1 Samuel chapter 18 right through to the end of 1 Samuel. So David fled to the land of the Philistines, to Gath, which was one of the major cities of the Philistines and where Goliath had come from. The Philistines soon realized who he was, and David became afraid. So he pretended to be insane, to be a madman. And Achish, the king at that time, sent him away. So David escaped to the cave of Adullam, and it was reckoned that during these events, that was when David wrote this wonderful psalm. This brought me to think, you know, can you imagine yourself in David's shoes? You know, how would you have felt? You're being hunted down by Saul and his men, you know, you'd nowhere to go. You're in terrible danger. You know, to me, I imagine that most of us would just be frightened out of our wits. We wouldn't know what to do, where to turn. We just would be stuck. But what does David do in this terrible danger? What does he do? He bursts into praise. His heart was fixed on trusting God. He knew who God was. So let's just look at these wonderful verses. Verse 1, we read, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Now it says, David will praise the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually, at all times, continually be in my mouth. What about us, you know? This makes me think about myself, and I have to confess, I don't do that. Do any of us? I don't know. Do we at all times continually praise our Lord and Saviour? Do we have that joy that's deep within that makes us just want to burst out in praise? Praise to our God. Sometimes we maybe do. So there is times, and whenever we do it, whenever we do sing praises in our heart, even to the Lord, we know that deep sense of peace and that joy. But maybe we just don't do it so often as we should. Verse 2 goes on, "I will boast in the Lord. My soul makes its boast in the Lord." You know, he praises God with great faith. And David's confidence is all in the Lord, despite the dangers he faces. Again, as I say, the troubles that he was in, what state would we have been in? But David wanted to praise the Lord, and his confidence was in the Lord. Goes on in that verse, "Let the humble hear and be glad." And the humble are those who realize that their salvation is all of God. It's all of God. You know, we have nothing to boast about in ourselves, only in the Lord. That's all of him. A couple of my favorite verses from the past, we taught the kids in Kenya one year way back. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Again, I say our salvation is all of God's grace. All of his grace. I think to myself at times, it's great, I'm talking about songs, when songs come into your mind about the Lord, you know, and sometimes even, well, everybody's their own choice, but "How great thou art," or "Amazing grace," whatever it may be, "Man of sorrows," whatever, wonderful, wonderful words. And you know, it just fills your heart with joy. And to be honest, sometimes I sing away to myself at work, and that is those moments when you do feel that joy within. And it's great. It's great. It gives you a wee lift, and it just helps you to go on through the day. I heard a man at work the other day who was whistling Christian songs, and I'm usually on my knees because most of you know I'm a floor layer. But I got up and I went around the corner just to see who it was, sort of walked by to see who it was. And the man had a lovely expression on his face. You know the way you say you should see it in us when we're God's, you should be able to see it. Well, there was a joy about his face. And I got talking to him and I asked him, was he a Christian? And that led to a great conversation. And that was fantastic. It's just a real joy whenever you meet someone. And the building site, that doesn't always happen, so it doesn't. But I was going to say that's three Christians I've met in the job I'm on, but I'm looking down at the back and there's another man on the same job, so that's four, actually. And it's not often that happens, but it's great. It's a joy every time I see him now, for there's always a chat and a smile and a conversation. And it's a real joy. It's a real joy when you meet another Christian, isn't it? Wherever it may be. And, you know, there's an immediate bond. There's an immediate bond, and it's a real joy. In verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. David calls for others to praise God with him. Magnify the Lord with me. Lift his name up. You know, let us exalt his name together. I have underlined here, magnify, exalt, and together. You know, how great it is to worship together. We studied recently the book of Revelation, you know, and the church here. And we heard a lot about the joys of heaven. And, you know, the more you think about it, how great it will be to join in that heavenly choir, you know, at home with the Lord. That will be fantastic. Can you imagine it? Just simply amazing. That's enough to keep any of us going day by day, isn't it? Verse 4 goes on, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. He delivered David. You know, God is a prayer answering God, and he wants us to come to him. He wants us to bring everything to him. In our times of need or our fears, where do we turn? To who else can we turn, really? You know, is our first thought to pray to our great God and loving Father, or do we just try and sort it all out for ourselves, which we so often do? But God wants you to bring everything to him in prayer. He loves you. He loves you. And he's interested in your whole life. You know, when I was thinking, being a parent myself, and now a grandparent, you know, I'd really be hurt if I heard that my children had worries and concerns, and they didn't come and seek my help. They didn't come and ask me to help them or tell me their needs. You know, how much more does our Heavenly Father want us to come to him with all our needs? You know, how much is his love greater than ours? You know, he just wants us to come. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. He's a great and a wonderful God. You know, there's another part to that. You know, God will maybe not always answer our prayers as we think he should. He'll not always prevent troubles from coming to us. But there's one thing we can be sure of, that he'll be with us in those times of trouble. And his outcome will always be the best outcome. That's not always easy to accept, but that's where the trust comes in. We must believe that God will always do the right thing. Always do the right thing. His way are way above our ways, and his plans are greater than our plans. In the book of Daniel, he didn't stop Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being thrown into the fire, or Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, but he was there with them. He was there in the difficult times. You know, there's been a lot of heart sorrow and a lot of heartache for many in this church in the past year, and all over the world in the past year. But each one of us who know Jesus as our Savior can surely testify that the Lord gave us strength when we needed it. He has never failed us. He has never let us down. He is true to his word. You know, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, in Hebrews chapter 13. We'll go on to verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant. Who do we look to for our peace, for our comfort, for our joy? David looked to the Lord and he felt radiant because he knew God. He was close to God. Surely when we look to the Lord and truly meditate upon him and his word, you know, that's the only time we're truly at peace. We experience that peace that comes alone from him. It goes on to say, and their faces shall never be ashamed. I tried to sort of work that out a wee bit, ashamed. Another word could be placed in that is disappointed. They'll never be disappointed. What better a place could we be than to be in his presence? He will never disappoint us. He never has disappointed me, and I'm sure the rest of the people in here could say the same. Verse 6, This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In the eyes of the world, you know, David had nothing but troubles. He had nothing. He was deep, deep trouble. But he had God. And you know, that's all he needed. And that's all we need. He cried to the one that he knew would hear him and would answer him. Wonderful, wonderful verses. You know, that verse could probably be said of so many of us. You know, we were poor, we were trapped in our sin. And we had to cry to the Lord. And he never turned us away. He heard us and he saved us and he gave us life and real life. You know, sometimes the world thinks that being a Christian, you're missing out on something. But I maybe used to think that myself. But since I become a Christian, God has filled me with a joy, a deep joy. I don't maybe always show it, but a peace. Just a joy that I can't explain. I can't explain it, but I know it's there. And that's what he can do for each one of us. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. David knew who God was. He knew who God is. He knows he's a faithful and a true God, a holy God who loves him and protects him. In Psalm 27, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I often think of these words, you know, to describe our Lord. He's my light. He's my salvation. My stronghold or strongbox. Like being inside a safe. You know, you're safe. Elsewhere, he calls him my rock, my fortress. You know, what a wonderful Saviour. You know, he's there for us. He's never failed us. And verse 8, such a big verse in the Bible again. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." You know, for anybody listening out there tonight who doesn't know Jesus as a Saviour, why not come and taste and see how good he is? You know, have you found something else in the world that brings you deep joy or lasting satisfaction? A real hope for the future? Or is there still something missing? You know, all I can do is speak from experience. I tried to find happiness and fulfillment in the things of the world, but they didn't work. But when I tasted of the Lord, I truly did see that God is good. God is good. He's given me true life. He's given me a deep peace and a joy within. I can say he is my refuge and my strength. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He's always been there for me, especially in the difficult times. He's always been there. So if you don't know him tonight, if you're out there listening somewhere and you don't know him, why not come even now? Taste him and see that he is good. Come today. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 7 says, Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Just a wee word to finish off with. For us as Christians tonight, it's remarkable. I always think it's great when you're reading the Bible and then it all comes together. You panic and you worry and you have to maybe speak in it, but it all comes together. And even the words that I've been reading, taste and see that the Lord is good, I've found them elsewhere. 1 Peter chapter 2, I just happened to be reading, verses 1 to 3. And he's been talking about being holy in the previous verses and putting the Lord first. He says in verse 1 to 3, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." You know, let us long for that pure spiritual milk, the Word of God. Let's love it, let's live by it, and let's praise him and exalt his name together. Continually, magnify him continually. There's nothing I've said tonight in these verses that are hard or complicated. And sometimes that's what gets us, just a simple word of God. It's wonderful. It's really blessed me as I've been preparing. It's touched me. And I've listened to, any of you who are into music, I've listened to a couple of people singing a version of Psalm 34. I don't know where you're into it or not. Shane and Shane do a bit of singing. They're two Christian lads from America, I think. But they sing a version of Psalm 34, if you can look up YouTube. It's lovely. And there's also the Brooklyn Choir, who are magnificent at singing too. So just if you want to do that.